Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another informative and exciting show of Life Design. I hope that everybody's well. Today is really a very special day for me. My guest today is actually my daughter, Samantha Friedman. Let me tell you a little bit about Samantha. Samantha is a university graduate who majored in psychology and human relations. She is 28 years old and engaged and living in Toronto right now. She has spent the last decade working in a multitude of helping roles, from teaching children between the ages of 6 and 17 years of age. She has done behavioral therapy with children having developmental impairments, and she has also worked in social work with the elderly, Alzheimer patients in particular, and done therapy with support staff as well. Samantha has also been pursuing another passion in the fashion industry. She designs hats and accessories with a large portion of the proceeds going to charity. She is also now working on a written piece of work and is counseling young girls, helping and guiding them along their paths while making life choices. So right about now, I'd like to do a quick backstory of our family history so that you listeners can put some of the things that will come up during the show into perspective. Samantha was born in Montreal, Canada in 1983. She was and is my firstborn child. For her first few years, we were inseparable, always together. From me feeding her muffins at 3 months old, in a stroller, into a high chair, into every mall that I could find or indoor space, because I had to get out with her during the winter. She loved the cold weather, loved to roll in the snow. Of course, I hated it. So food shopping, everything. We did everything together. As I was preparing for the show, I could hear my late mother, who was all, I could feel her too, actually, today. She would always be laughing lovingly, and she would just say to me, you know, Linda, I think you really need to have another child because you are smothering Samantha. You are always with her. How is she ever going to separate from you? So a lot of good memories are coming up, but there were a lot of dark times too. Let me go on. Samantha, as I said, was always smiling. She was laughing, and she was such an amazing, completely stable, easy child. She would always, and literally I can even see her now, sitting at the kitchen table late in the afternoon before she went to school with crayons and drawing, because I've always been very into art and I'm artsy. I would always see the same picture. It was a picture of a house, a man and a woman and two little girls, and there was always this huge big sun with huge rays shining down, bigger than big, down on the rest of us. That was my snapshot of Sam as a little girl. At age 7, my ex-husband and I applied for a green card lottery to the United States, and my husband said, we'll win, and I said, oh, we'll never win, and sure enough, we did. Samantha had really a perfect life. She was in a great school. She was potential valedictorian. The principal adored her. I couldn't have been luckier, and of course she was healthy. When we had to tell our girls, Samantha's younger sister, that we were moving, Samantha took it so hard. So hard, I can still remember the day we told her. I'm going to fast forward 10 years. We moved to the United States with that particular year. Samantha pulled her out of first grade, I think it was. And we moved to Florida in the United States. We moved to another state after that, and we made numerous moves along the path. To when I knew that I needed to really pack up myself and my girls and my two puppies and move back home 10 years later. Snapshot of 10 years of moving, changing schools, leaving friends, and starting over and over again, I must say for this little girl with this most beautiful smile and all the love in her heart, that times are really tough and dark and trying. As I was going through a tumultuous marriage, and I knew that eventually, you know, it would have to end. Every time I think back on that little smiling girl with a poster picture perfect family, I would always break down and feel like I wanted to cry inside. I watched her turning dark, and all I could do was pray, and I did, for her to come through at the other end of that dark tunnel. I never lost faith, and I even faked it plenty of the time to save face to my family and to my daughters, and I had a promise that I wanted to keep to myself, that I would still be the most loving, unconditional mom that I could be, no matter what. At 16, actually, I can remember Samantha literally the day the movers came, and I couldn't wait to leave the United States and move back home. I really needed my family and support and friends, and it was tough to leave warm weather and move to cold, but I can remember Samantha sitting on her bed with a friend, and literally the mover came upstairs to me. The mover was about 6'2", a Turkish guy and his other two movers, and they said, "Ma'am, you got to come downstairs and help me." And I said, "What? She's 16 years old. You can't just pick the mattress, the bed up with her on it and take it out to the truck. We're going." That's how resistant and sad Sam was. But I had a vision and I could see fast forward ahead. There's so much more to both our backstory, my story, our story. This is just a small little trailer. But in the middle of the night, one night at 3 a.m., I woke up and I had this epiphany. Oh, my God, I have to bring Sam on as a guest to my show to really share and inspire my listeners. Yes, I prayed for 10 years, and I knew that beautiful girl with all the darkness and broken dreams, I knew that she would find her way back to that little girl she was between the ages of 0 and 5. So, in looking back and thinking about turnaround moments, I'd like to bring on Samantha. Samantha, hi.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. How are you?
Great. It was kind of tough for me when I had to talk about you, but I still see that little smiling little girly face, and I see it again now, and you're just so beautiful and blessed, and you've done such hard work that I'd like to ask you a few questions.
You're making me blush, but go ahead.
I can't see, sweetie pie, so promise me that your face is red or pink because I'll believe you. In looking back, you and I have talked about your turnaround moments. First off, before I start, I just want all the listeners to know there is more to Sam's bio. I tried to keep mine very personal on the dynamic of legacy and family. But if you'd like to know more, you can go onto my website at lindasachs.com and or Facebook, or you can also reach Samantha as she's just setting up. Send her an email at SamanthaMichelle with two L's, ff@gmail.com. SamanthaMichelleFF@gmail.com. So, Samantha, you're ready?
Yeah, Mama, go ahead. What's up?
Okay, girly. All right. In looking back, we talked about your turnaround moments, and I know that you had two ahas that you wanted to share. So I'm going to give you the floor, and it's your turn to speak.
Okay, so you wanted to know my turnaround moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with, for months and months, my mother was telling me I had to read a book called Repairing Rainbows, and finally a year ago I gave in. I stayed up through the night that night, and I read it, and that book changed my life forever. So after reading the book, I pretty much realized enough was enough, and I was ready to live my life for me. That leads into other things, though, that I can mention. About 15 years ago, I'd say around 15 years ago, my mother put over my headboard a poster that said, "Dare to be different." She had spoken to me about attitude of gratitude. She spoke to me about being authentic, following my heart, and being who I wanted to be. But I guess, like every normal child, I resisted what you were trying to teach me. And reading Rainbows was definitely my tipping point, because once I gave in and I read the book, everything you said started making sense.
What kind of struck you? What was in that book? Is anything that you could share with the listeners woke you up?
I can tell you what I took away from the book.
Okay.
And what because I'd like people to read the book, and I don't want to give anything away. And I'm fearful that if I speak to really how I'd like to answer that question, that I'd be giving the book away. But I really encourage everybody to pick that up, and I recommend everyone I know to read that book. So I'll tell you what I took away, and what I took away was that life is really precious, that mm-hmm. we need to appreciate everything and make every millisecond count. So I took, you know, the book, as much as I always appreciated every second of my life, I now treat every second as if it was my last. And I'm not just saying that. I make sure really every day to savor every moment.
Okay. I must really, of course, as the mother and the interviewer, say truth and let all the listeners know. I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm struggling with, yes, allergies and smog in California, sunny California, that Samantha really now today, every minute of every day, is not only smiling, even when she's feeling lousy, she is calling her 25-year-old sister and myself on our little negativities every time they kind of come out, and she is really, what I said to her this morning, walking the walk and talking the talk. Samantha, there were a lot of dark years when you realized, well, you knew your parents' marriage wasn't great, but you realized that it was time for our family to separate, and there was a lot of resistance on your father's part, and I know you kind of took a dark road. I just want the interviewers to know that your past was really not that light, and it really wasn't easy. And
you know what, Mom? Sorry, yes. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
You told me you weren't going to interrupt me.
Go. Well, I just wanted to say that no one's life is easy. You know, okay. Life isn't meant to be easy, but life is what you make of it. And you made reference to you and my sister. You guys are my world. And if there's something that I've learned, I just want to try and pass it on to you.
Sam, you're always trying to teach me stuff. You're the Virgo and I'm the Aquarian. You're always trying to teach me stuff. And if I'm smart, I'm always listening. Actually, I tell a lot of my friends out there and they laugh because it just came up the other day in a group setting. I had said, my daughter is my best and biggest teacher. And in my yoga training, they said the same thing the other day. Your children will always be your biggest teachers. And then the teacher said, how many of you are parents? And we heard a big, everybody was sighing. But it really is the truth, is that because you had literally colored all these pictures when you were so small, you, if anything, were born with this purpose and this vision to just send all that love that you resonate out there. I mean, I saw it. I saw that light in you when you were a little girl. That's why that dare to be different. You're welcome, sweetie.
But I think something mm-hmm. huge that I need you to realize mm-hmm. is that what you taught me is what's now enabling me to, I guess, what you're quote-unquote saying to teach you. Right. I was just too young when you were trying to instill what you knew. You know, I now constantly are reminding people about the attitude of gratitude, because that's what I live with. I wake up every morning and I smile and I go to bed with a smile, and that's because of the attitude of gratitude. And you said that to me like 10 years ago, and I tell you, Ma, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's BS. It's this.
You didn't
say
it that nicely.
It's only getting to the point, you know, when you finally, it's when people are ready. So you can't tell someone else. People have to come to it on their own, you know?
You know, it's so true. I mean, the questions, you know, I could have for you in the time that we have would be so basic, and we went over some of them. But before I ask you the second question, which is your recipe for happiness, which I think is really so beautiful, don't answer yet, and I want all the listeners to hear, and I want you to share that. When you look, in looking back, Samantha, did you even see a vision of your recipe for happiness? Like, those years that you were really so sad that you didn't have that beautiful, perfect family, the one that you always drew about in your picture. Like, how did that feel? I think I'd like the listeners to kind of know.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned I'm a Virgo. Virgos are perfectionists.
Yep.
So in the fact that I'm a perfectionist, for a long time, I just wanted this utopia. And the reality is that there's no such thing as perfect. There's a perfect for you. And I just realized that once I came to that, you know, once I had that epiphany and I really digested that and I really believed that, that's when I was able to change my life.
Did that happen before you read Linda's, you know, tragedy and realized how lucky you were? Did you get this feeling that, oh, my God, my family's alive, we're broken and we're fragmented and there's all kinds of dark stuff, but at least we're all alive? Did you start just looking around
No, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. It's just
you
interrupted
me twice.
I had been teeter-tottering for a long time, and then Repairing Rainbows was it. That was it. Once I read that, there was nothing stopping me.
Right. I think pretty much that's also the feeling that I had, is when I realized that the three of us were together. I'm so sorry, everyone. Allergies are bad. I realized that the three of us were together and that we weren't a perfect family also. My heart was breaking because I think, if it's okay, Samantha, with you, that we let the viewers know that Samantha was graduating high school. And that was the year that the court had finally given me, after months, permission to leave the country with my girls and to move back home. And Samantha would be missing her prom. And Samantha asked, we actually asked her father if she could live with him. And it was decided that it would be best for Samantha, because for all the right reasons, for supervision and whatever, because of her dad's work schedule, that she move back with me. That was a real tough time for you, Samantha, to move back in high school. You and I had made a pact, if you remember back, and I was crying, and I said to my mother, I said to Grandma, if I have to leave her there for a year, I will. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I will. And I can still see what 16 saying to me, Mom, I promise. What do I have to do? What do I have to write down? What do I have to give you to show you, to prove to you that I will come back in a year? Just let me finish high school. And you had, that was a tough one to swallow. You know, you came back into a province where you weren't speaking the right language, because in Montreal everything is French. You had a lot of stuff.
If I can just interject without interrupting you.
All right, interruption number three, Virgo. Yes.
The past is the past. Yes, all of that is true, 100%. But I'd rather not dwell on the past. I'd rather, you know, absorb the present and think about the future, because I think that that's the most important lesson that I've learned so far.
That's beautiful. I really wanted the listeners to know that we're far from the perfect family.
Nobody's perfect.
Right.
There's no such thing as perfect.
Right. And dark times are part of life. And there's the dark and the yin and the yang, and we very often go through those dark times. There are reasons we don't always know. It's taking us into this brighter light, whatever it is. But if I can tell you all, Samantha really went through some really challenging and tough stuff, moved to three different states, and God knows, Samantha, moving every 2 years, how many different houses. And Samantha would walk into a house and love the house and get so attached, she would never want to leave. So the interesting part is now, as I watch Samantha with her fiancé, my future son-in-law, we laugh. How many times have you moved in the past 2 years, Samantha?
But that's
obviously
why.
Was prepared. Yeah.
There you go. There's
yes.
No such thing as, you know, I'm really trying not to interrupt you. So I was going with the thought, the basic essence of what I wanted to say was, yes, there's harsh times, but the reality is if you're alive and you have your help and you have those around you that you love, mm-hmm. there's nothing you can't tackle. So as much as I was younger and I didn't realize it at the time, I look at it now and everything in my past is preparing me for now.
Great. Now I would like to ask you about your recipe for happiness. I know that you have been writing and compiling a written piece of work. You shared something with me that was so beautiful.
What are you referring to?
Your recipe for happiness. I'd like to give you the platform now to share whatever of that you'd like to share.
Okay, I'm not sure how we are on time, so I'll give an abridged version of the basic message that I want to give. Okay. My grandmother used to constantly tell me, you're born alone and you die alone, and it only recently clicked for me. You can give love and you can receive love, and I'm going somewhere with this, so just follow me. But the vital love is self-love, and I used to conform what I thought other people wanted of me, because I wanted to avoid conflict and I didn't want to upset anyone, but I was going against my gut. I used to get sinus infections all the time. You remember, I was sick all the time because
all
there
the
was
time.
A lack of harmony. Mm-hmm. This is important. There was a lack of harmony in my body. It's mm-hmm. what I like to call dis-ease. And mm-hmm. I realized I had to make a change. I couldn't be sick all the time. And I decided to make a pact with myself. And I decided to go deep. I went the route of authenticity that my mother had spoken about for so long. So what I learned is that you'll never go wrong. You'll be following your path and no one else's. That's my recipe for happiness.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I have time for another question, and it's not the closing question that we had, but instead of me asking a closing question, I'd like to see if there's anything else that you would like to share, because you have probably like 3 minutes or so, 3-4 minutes of just anything that you'd like to share. Your wisdom. At 28, I must say, as Samantha's mother, as a helping professional, she is my teacher. I learn from you each and every day. And each and every day, I am so grateful and so thankful. When my old stuff starts to come in and my old tape starts to go on replay. And it's
Mommy,
like,
we have 3 minutes.
No, sweetheart, it's 4:22. All right, you want to talk. It's 4:22. You go.
Okay, I think things, if I can give just an abridged version of how I would answer your question. I think the recipe for true eternal happiness is to just shut up and live. We need to eradicate fear, doubt, negativity. We have to replace all of that we need faith in the universe, trust in oneself. There's a divine plan and divine timing. And the minute that we all surrender, I truly believe that's the minute that you really find yourself. We just need to create our own future, the future that we've always dreamt about. That's what I'm doing. And I think we really can't be trapped by dogma. Steve Jobs said it the best. We can't live the results of other people's thinking. We really need to wake up in the morning, be proud of who we are, and go to sleep and be proud of who we are. You know, Oprah once said, the more you praise and celebrate your life, the more there is in life to celebrate. There's little miracles everywhere. And I think that what really helps me is following, you know, what I just said. I remind myself over and over again, and it used to feel foreign, but now it just feels so natural to say all those things because it's truly what I practice.
And it's truly that I know you do, and that question was answered so eloquently and
love
so
you,
beautifully.
Mommy.
I have another question, Samantha. If there was anything that you could change or do different as you look back in your 28 light years of life, is there anything that you want to share?
I think I mentioned something about this before partially, but mm-hmm. I think if you ask me that question, I'm going to be really blunt. I used to want to change so many things about my life, and I'd lie awake at night and wish for certain things to be different. Mm-hmm. But I can today say confidently that I wouldn't change a thing. I'm proud of the woman I've become. I'm eager to see how my future unfolds, and I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for the gift of my past.
I have to say that I thank God and Grandma and all my departed, not once a day, but many times every day when I'm either walking down the street. Listeners, I am on the West Coast. Samantha's on the East Coast. It's not easy for us to be separated, but that's what happened with the love thing. So we kind of
I'll
go
see
back.
You in 27 days.
Yes, I know, darling. It just so happened. I have to come see my little puppy. It just so happens that we're separated, yet we're not separated, because you're with me each and every minute of every day, whether it's a text message, I'm driving down the street, I see a sign in LA, or I'm with the dog, and I talk to the dog, and I go, oh, my God, Samantha should see this, or, oh, my God, Staffy, I can't believe this. So, you know, connections that we build as family are really very strong. There's something that I would just like to share. The thought and intention of bringing Samantha onto the show today was and is so connected to my message of how our values drive us in our lives. I constantly think back of my mother and the legacy that was handed down to me and the torch. Something that my mother used to always say to me when Samantha was going through those dark years was, Linda, go love her. Just be with her, accept her for the way she is, even in her darkness. Always be there for her. Stop telling me you're going to kill her. That won't help the situation any. So now go. And Grandma would always say, just go. Well, as I was putting together my legacy series for men, I was thinking when I had this epiphany and I woke up in the middle of the night about asking you to come on the show, Sam. And then when I told your sister, she said, that's not fair. You didn't ask me. And I had a good laugh because Samantha's sister is working in L.A. at a full-time job. And I said, if they'd let you off for half an hour, she said, well, Mom, maybe I could have taken my lunch hour. So you see, that's kind of not just the legacy of carrying down the torch, but that's what happens. I think the word that comes to my mind is infectious in a good way. When there's so much love, yeah, right? When there's so much
love. Love and light will set you free.
You better believe it. That, yeah, the love is just so there and so true. Samantha, I know that you're starting to counsel young girls with self-esteem. If anyone is interested, and there isn't anyone better than you. By the way, all
Thank
of you,
you,
Samantha, has been a teacher in schools for many years, and the sweetest thing is the schools keep calling her back and saying, will you come back? Will you come back? And every week I get another phone call. Mom, what do I do? And I say, Sam, you're getting married. Yes, darling. Sam, you're getting married. You can't go, you know, you can't go there and be with every student and every you know, and be in every school. And they can't all have a piece of you, but everyone really does want a piece of you because of that infectiousness that you have and the legacy that's been handed down for all of us. So once again, Samantha can be reached at Samantha Michelle FS, that's F like Frank and S like Sean, Samantha Michelle FS at gmail.com. I have good news. I hear in the queue that we do have 5 minutes left. I know there's some people that are listening. And as you had said, Samantha, you know, you love to talk, and you got it from me.
Is it coming, Ma?
Samantha is all about the love. Samantha is unconditional and giving. I just am so very proud of her. Each and every minute of every day, I'm proud to be her mother. And there were many times where I did go to my late mother and say, Mom, are we going to get through this? Am I going to get through this? And Samantha, you know some of those times. And honestly, right, Samantha, there were angels along our path each and every time, whether it would be a neighbor or a friend or one of Samantha's male friends from high school, or they would just show up constantly. There were angels showing up to guide us along the way. What, sweetie?
There's something that I think is huge, and I think we're all our own angels. And I think that's something that really once I stopped looking externally for help and I started looking internally and I realized I can fix myself. I don't need anyone else to fix me and make my life perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I really started to feel alive. And you know, feeling alive and embracing today is a feeling like no other, at lack of better words. I can't say that more eloquently because it's just really, it's raw. That is what it is. And, you know, it goes back to the divine plan, divine timing, and real trust in oneself and faith in the universe.
You know, they're big words. A lot of people are saying them. They're out there. I've been at this for many years. I talk to all kinds of people. It's rare where I find a young woman, best that it be my own daughter, that really has this smile, that lives by what you believe. We spoke the other day on the phone, and you said to me, Mom, it's really ridiculous. It's like in the past few months, Sean and I are both, everything is manifesting because we only talk happy thoughts and good thoughts. Bad stuff happens during the day. We turn it around. We look at each other and we say, this is the moment in which we can say, we are headed in this direction. And all the forces and all the channels are opening up and heading you in that direction. And I watch the two of you day by day. And it's just such a huge, big blessing. So for any of the listeners that are out there in just listening to the two of us, just really tap into the surface. There was an incredible amount of darkness. And if anyone was going to, I don't want to say seamlessly make it through, because there was a lot of heartache along the way, but it was meant to be, Samantha, totally meant to be you. Dare to be different, girl. Dare to
Thank
be different.
Thank you. You know what, Sean and I, whenever we get to a point that it's, you can even get frustrated. You've wasted that moment being frustrated. What did that do for us?
Right.
If at any moment in your life you're frustrated, you are wasting a moment that could be spent smiling. What's the point? There's
and
no
say
point
that
looking
to me
at
often,
the past
right.
and being frustrated.
Yeah.
You have to shut up and live.
I love that.
That's what we say all the time. You shut up and live.
Yeah. Well, shut up and live is a good title, Samantha. I don't know how it would be on a bookshelf, but shut up and live. Shut up and live is very often, you know, what I kind of hear you say to me, and I catch myself now. You know, if there will be any kind of, you know, thoughts that come into my mind, which I call my monkey mind, I always do that right away. I think, you know what? No. There, I have this little trigger word that says, get that word out of my head. In the exact moment that it comes in, we let it leave. You and I spoke about NLP yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that maybe I shouldn't say on the radio, so excuse me. But we all just need to cut the bullshit. We need to cut the bullshit. And I think the minute that I started cutting the bullshit,
mm-hmm.
whether it was external forces in my life, whether it was my own thinking, whether it was, you know, I could give a multitude of examples. Once I cut the bullshit, I finally felt like I was able to feel alive and I was able to take control and manifest my future, take control of my destiny. We drive our own cars. No one else drives them.
I love that. We have less than a minute left. I'm going to let you leave with the end message. Next week, I have Kirsten Corot, who is trained in Tibetan sound bowl therapy. You would love her, Samantha. She is going to be on my show. I want to thank my daughter. This was beautiful. We could go on and on for hours as we do on the phone. One of us has to say, okay, it's time to hang up now. So we did good. We did all this in a half an hour and 30 minutes. You are an incredible role model, and I love you, and I'm very proud to be your mother. Thank you for agreeing to be a guest and coming on my show and sharing all your thoughts. Watch out for Samantha. She is going to be out there, everyone. Just keep your eyes and ears open. I love you, Sam.
Love you, Mama. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It was my pleasure. You see, it's all over. We could do another 30 minutes now, right? Getting warmed
we'll
up now.
We'll just do it on the phone.
You could always join me and Michelle on Skype. So.
Sounds good. I just learned how to Skype.
Yeah, so come on. We can do that. Anyway, I love you, and I only wish you the best. I am heading back east in 2 weeks for Samantha's engagement party, and I'm going to get to be with her and my little Poochie and everybody, so I'm really very blessed every minute of every day. Fam, you're right.
She's been scratching at the door.
Tell her I'm coming.
She wanted to be on the radio.
Tell her I'm coming. Tell her I'm coming. All right, so we will see you soon. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, Samantha Michelle, fs@gmail.com. And if you want to see who's my guest for next week, she will be offering free sessions on Tibetan sound therapy, which is just amazing. So you can check that out at lindasachs.com, or you can check me out on Facebook. I will see you all next week. All my love. Be safe.